Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, we've been thinking together from the Epistle of Hebrews. This is a very important doctrinal epistle, which many people do not read and study very much because they think it was probably written only to the Jews. No, it was directed toward the Jews, and there are things in here that the Jewish people would understand more clearly, perhaps, than we Gentile people. But nevertheless, the teaching of this book is just as important for us as Gentiles as it is for the Jewish people who might read it. And I would urge, if you are from a Jewish background, study this book very, very carefully and try to understand the truth that God is laying out in this book concerning the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. How wonderful it is to be part of the Jewish nation, to understand that God still has a plan for his people. You see this, for instance, in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, where three chapters are devoted to God's plan for his own people, the nation of Israel. And so we support the people of Israel in every way, from a human standpoint, from the standpoint of world workings and so forth. But we also pray for the Jewish people that they might be saved, that they might come to their Messiah and trust him as their Savior. So we respect them in every possible way. And when we come to this book now, this book is going to emphasize the perfect fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ of every Old Testament prediction, of every Old Testament promise, of every Old Testament type, of everything in the law itself. He's a perfect fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament, going clear back to the time of Abel, the son of Adam. And he's a perfect fulfillment of everything that was written in the Old Testament. And so we need to understand this book, whether we're Jewish people or Gentiles. We need to understand this book very, very clearly and follow its teachings. How Jesus, in every way, has fulfilled everything that was in the Old Testament. Now we wonder, why then are we not under the Old Testament law? Because the purpose of the law has now been completed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're under its moral teachings, but we're not under the hundreds of regulations in the Old Testament law, because now Jesus has fulfilled everything that the law predicted and the law prepared them for. And so when Jesus died on the cross, that was the time when the Old Testament law would no longer be the one that we would follow. We would now be under grace. We would be walking by faith. We'd be walking under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So this has been the teaching of the book of Hebrews, chapters 1 to 11, and even into chapter 12. This is still the teaching that we're under grace. The last two verses that we read, verse 28 of chapter 12, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. But that 28th verse, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How important this is now, that we walk in grace. We walk by the help and the power and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and that we walk in faith before God. Now I want to read in this lesson today, I want to read chapter 13. We're just going to read part of it, verses 1 to 17. I don't think we can compare, we can complete, let me put it this way. We can't complete everything in this passage of Scripture, but I want to read verses 1 to 17, chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, of Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, and not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, verse 12, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. That's his crucifixion. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, do not forget, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And I want to read verse 17 in closing. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls, for they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now let's think of this passage now. We'll go as far as we can in these next few minutes of this lesson. First of all, I want to compare this passage with several other passages. For instance, I'm thinking of Romans chapters 12 to 15. Romans chapters 12 to 15 is speaking of the practical Christian life, how we live our lives before others, before other Christians, how we live our lives before the unsaved, how we treat other people, how we treat Christians, how we treat the unsaved people to whom we're trying to give witness of the gospel. We also think again of 1 Corinthians chapters 1 to 16. Now you notice as you study this book, and we've studied this book in a previous series of lessons that I gave, about 60 different lessons we had from the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, maybe more. And anyhow, in this book, he's dealing with practical issues. There are something like 12 different problems in the Corinthian church that he deals with, clear down to chapter 16. Even in the middle of chapter 16, there's another problem there that he's having to deal with, the way they treat the workers who come to visit them and so forth. And then we think again of a book like Ephesians. We also think of Philippians chapter 2. I was thinking of Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. That speaks there of relationship with other people as well. But I'm thinking now of Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5, where it speaks of the way we are to consider ourselves and to think of ourselves in our relationship with Christians in the body of believers. He's especially emphasizing this thing. And then in verse 5 he says, have this mind among yourselves, or have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But it's the idea of among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to show the same servanthood, the same humility, and so forth, is what Philippians 2 is teaching. Now you will think of many other passages which deal with the practical side of the Christian life. And this is going to deal with that. I think, for instance, of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. I think of 1 and 2 Peter, where false teaching is dealt with, where the false teaching is very severely condemned. They are to reject it. I think of the book of Jude. I think of the book of 3 John, and even of 2 John and so forth, where false teaching is condemned. And so when we think of some of these other passages and we compare the teaching of Hebrews chapter 13 with these other passages, we can see very clearly that God emphasizes the practical side of the Christian life. It's not only our walk with the Lord himself, our love for the Lord himself, but it's also the practical side, how we live in the world, how we conduct ourselves, and so forth. Because God is watching these things just as much as he's watching our love for the Lord Jesus and our obedience to him in our own personal walk with him and so forth. So these practical things are very, very important to God. So let's begin with verses 1 to 3. In this passage of Scripture, we are to love and reach out to other people, including those less fortunate than ourselves. Now, in the church of the New Testament, there were many, many types of Christians. They came from many different situations. Some of them were extremely poor Christians. I think, for instance, of the section of Scripture from chapter 2 of the book of Acts, clear down to chapter 6. But there were many different types of people. And now they have all been saved. They've been baptized. They're members of the body of believers of that Jerusalem church. But there are many different types of people. There were some very wealthy among them. There were some people very well off, some people whose circumstances were very, very favorable from a human standpoint. And in this passage, this section that we've considered, chapters 2 to 6 of the book of Acts, these people now came together and they shared together everything they had. And as the rich sold what they had and they shared with the poor. Now, we don't live in communities like this anymore. But in those days, it was very necessary for them to conduct themselves like this. They had great bodies of believers, and they were sharing faithfully with each other. Now, they may have had a number of different sections of this body of believers, but the rule was the same, that when you had something in this world, you would share it with other people. You would share your sympathy, you would share your concern, you would share your prayers, you would sell your material things, and you would share them with other people. And so, in the body of believers, they were to be very much concerned with the things that believers were going forth. Now, you can imagine, even when Peter and John were out on the streets preaching the gospel, when Stephen was stoned in chapter 7 of the book of Acts and so forth, how concerned the body of believers was for the sufferings that these men were going through, how Peter and John were thrust into prison and so forth, for the sake of the gospel. You can imagine the concern that these believers felt as they went through these sufferings for the sake of the Lord. And so, we as Christians today have the same responsibilities in our relationships with believers in the local church. A little bit later, we're going to be concerned, we're going to be talking a little bit, maybe in the next lesson, about our concern also for the unsaved people around us and how we reach out to them and show the love and concern that Christians have for the lost. As we care for them, we care for the problems they go through, we care for the sorrows they go through, and so forth. And we reach out to them, and we may share with them some of our possessions and so forth, in order that they might be able to recover, so that we might have a testimony with them, and we might see them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So, first of all, we're to love and to reach out to other people, including those less fortunate than ourselves. Let me include the unsaved here while I'm here. I think this is speaking mainly only about believers. But let's think about the unsaved people and our testimony before them. We are warned in books of Timothy and Titus and in 1 and 2 Peter about the testimony we have before the people of the world, that the people of the world will not turn aside from God because of the poor testimony we have before them. I tell stories to my grandchildren about just imaginary stories about a young man who got saved. He was just a student. In fact, he was in elementary school, perhaps in the 8th grade, and he was a student, and how he shared with a very, very poor young man in the school who was rejected by others in his class. They were both in the 8th grade, but nobody liked this young man, and how this young man shared everything he had in order to win this other man, the rejected one, to the Lord. And so I tell my grandchildren about this, and I want to say this again, that what we do for the unsaved and the way we conduct ourselves with neighbors and friends who are unsaved, with workmates, with schoolmates, and with others, is very, very important to God. And it determines whether or not we're really living the Christian life as we should. And it's pleasing to God when our testimony is what it should be. Let me say one more thing, and I won't go into this very deeply with you, I promise you. But I want to say one more thing that needs to be said. We think of government itself. Here we are in Guam. Here we are in the United States, wherever you might be listening. Here we are in the Philippines, and we have a government over us. Now, sometimes a government is not always what it should be, and let me be very careful in what I say. I have no doubts about the government right here in Guam, so don't misunderstand what I just said. Sometimes we may be disappointed, we may politically be disappointed, or so forth, and so forth. But nevertheless, according to Romans chapter 13, we are to obey the government. Romans 13 has some very important teaching, and this teaching is repeated in other books as well. Even though, in that time, the government was a very cruel government, and I'm thankful the government of Guam is not like this. It's not a cruel government at all. It's a very wise government, and I want to commend them for it. I won't say anything more about that, because I don't want to speak politically. But I want to say that whether we belong to them politically or not, nevertheless, we are to obey them. We're to follow the rules of the government. And so Romans chapter 13 is very, very strong on this subject, very strong in teaching us that even government itself, we're not only to reach out to the unsaved people who are neighbors and friends and workmates and schoolmates and so forth, but we're also to reach out to the government itself and to be the kind of testimony we need to be before the government. Now, I started to say that in the time of the Apostle Paul, when this epistle is being written, they were still under the Roman government, a cruel and unjust government. Nevertheless, the government had established peace in the land, and the government was trying to rule, even though they were cruel and unjust at times, and later would persecute the Christians, would even burn down the temple in Jerusalem and burn down the city. Nevertheless, we were still, in that day, if we lived in that day, were to obey the government. And so this is true today as well. We obey the government. We not only help the unsaved people who are neighbors and friends, but the government itself we respect and we honor and we don't tear them down and we obey them as Christians. So we have a good testimony as we live in this society and this community, whether it be in the Philippines or Japan or Korea or the United States or wherever we might live. We would have a good testimony with those in highest authority. Now, I want to bring this lesson to a close. We're going to start right there. We're going to start with verse 4, where it talks about the marriage relationship in the next passage. The marriage relationship, verse 4. We're going to talk about this in the next lesson. But I want to leave this with you now, and it's my prayer that in our hearts, we will follow God with all our hearts if we're Christians. And we will be obedient to him. We'll not only love the Lord Jesus, but in practical ways, we'll be absolutely obedient to God. And then also, in our lives as Christians, as we follow the Lord Jesus, we also will love him and have a strong personal relationship with him. And then if we are not saved, if there's any here who might be unsaved, you simply have never made that decision. It's my prayer. You may not put this off, hoping that maybe later you'll have another opportunity. But you may today bow your hearts before God and confess your sins to him and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. May the Lord help you, each one, to do everything that God wants to accomplish in your life and to be everything that he wants you to be in your lives, whether you're unsaved, to become members of his family through the Lord Jesus, or as Christians, to live obediently and righteously before him and in closest relationship with the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help you, each one.